Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Acts, please. I'm well aware that I've preached out of this chapter before, and I want to read the chapter tonight. We've got a business meeting tonight, don't we? I believe after the service, if I'm remembering correctly, and that won't take long. Anyway, Acts chapter number 8. This chapter begins with persecution, and it ends with praise. I'll just say this for every child of God. It's all going to end with praise. We're going to be around the throne of God, blessing His name. The Bible said, and Saul was consenting unto his death. Now that his right there was Stephen. In chapter number 7, and at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. I want to say this. I don't want to say too much, but I certainly believe that. Our Christian heritage, from what I can discern, is safer now than it has been in a long time. Amen. I know that God is God and God is on the throne. But do you ever feel like as a Christian you're just in the way? Amen. Listen tonight. God wants us to be in His way. The Bible said, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, he committed them to prison. Therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and preached Christ unto them. If you study the Bible, the Samaritans were not really well looked upon by the Jews. They were half-breeds and they were looked down upon. And Jesus said, I think they had a hard time when he said, I must needs go through Samaria. And by the way, this is going to go good with the lesson tonight. He went through Samaria after one woman. And God is going to take Philip from Samaria and go after one man. And he's still in that business, amen. And the people with one accord, they gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. We're still in that part of the book of Acts where to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. In Acts chapter number 10, you find the transition to the Gentile. And so the sign gifts and the wonders and the miracles are still evident in chapter number 8 right here where Philip is. He said in verse 7, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Wasn't that a blessing? Amen. Where there's a great Jesus being lifted up and preached, there'll be great joy in the midst of the people. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and he bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, and to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, notice that word, beholding the miracle and the miracles and the signs which were done. Now when the apostle, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, whom, when they were come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Boy, that was a bad mistake, wasn't it? Saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money, that thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Boy, there's some more of that plain spoken English, isn't it? Amen. Said, your heart's not right. He said, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. You know, I guess Simon didn't have a whole lot of confidence that he could get a prayer through. And so he asked Peter to pray for him. I'm trying to set this up for the end of the chapter. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now look at verse 26. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way, underline that, the way, that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. The Bible said he arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning. He was sitting in his chariot and he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and he said, understandest thou what thou readest? The Bible said, and he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I'm not changing the Bible. But when I come to that verse today, reading over this again and again, I just wanted to say, and then Philip said unto him, you want some Jesus? Amen. That's what it amounts to. Amen. Do you want some Jesus? And the Bible said here, he said, they went on their way, and they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water. Now, let me ask you something. I'll finish reading in just a minute. But how many remembers how the chapter started? You know why people were in trouble in the beginning of the chapter as far as Saul was concerned? Because they believed that Jesus was the Son of God. I said that to say this. You might say, well, preacher, all he had to do was believe. You don't see anything about repentance. Beloved, I don't believe you can believe without repenting. I don't believe you can repent without believing. This man was willing to, my friend, be numbered with those that were being persecuted in the beginning of the chapter. It mattered not to him. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. And he took his place. So, and the Bible said here, And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, this is one of the texts that leads me to believe that, you know, you go down into the water, it'd be hard to do that in a goblet full of water or a glass full of water. Amen. And so they both went down into the water. Miss Eve was talking to me last week about a lady that had been sprinkled, and then she confided in Miss Eve and said, "What do you think about baptism?" And she told her, said, "Well, sis, said the last time I checked, when they bury somebody, they don't just sprinkle a little dirt on them. They cover them up." And said the lady took a little step back and said, "Well, you got a point there, amen. Buried with him in baptism, amen." And I'm not going to labor the point, but they both went down into the water. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at, I think you say that, Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Let's have just a moment of prayer, and I want to bring out some things tonight. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to stand here tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd help me to be a blessing, dear God, to these folks that have come tonight. And Lord, we'll give you glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You remember a little while back we started a kind of a series of messages over there where Philip said to Jesus, he said, "We know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said, "In the way you know, whether I go you know, and the way you know." And Philip said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And then Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I don't have this written down, but I believe the first message we looked at, salvation in the way. The second message we looked at was sons and daughters in the way. And the third message we looked at in the series, and there was actually three messages in that third message, were servants in the way. And what I want to look at tonight is soul winners in the way. Philip is a soul winner. Philip is a deacon. Some, and I don't know that there's anybody here, but some don't care much for that term, soul winner. But the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. How many knows the difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the righteous? Does anybody know the difference? The fruit of the Spirit, and I can't name them all, is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and faith and kindness and temperance. And I don't have them in the right order, but there's nine. It's a ninefold. Now listen, it doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. In other words, you don't get the first one without the last one. The fruit of the Spirit, it's one fruit, but it's manifested in all these different things. The fruit of the Spirit are those things, the love and the peace and the joy and the long-suffering, the gentleness, the meekness, the kindness, the temperance. All of those things make up the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Christian is another Christian. That's what the fruit of the Christian is. Now, the fruit of the righteous is somebody else. Jesus said, "Except you abide in me." You remember that? So if you take a branch and you cut it off from the trunk of the tree, then there's no life in that branch, and there can be no fruit hanging on the end of that branch. But the branch that abides in the vine, abides in the tree, rooted and grounded in him, at the end of that branch is supposed to be fruit. And Philip is going to bear fruit here in this chapter. I want to notice some things tonight and just get right on into it tonight. I don't want to labor any of the points, but I just want to go through some things as the Lord spoke to my heart about it. I want you to notice, first of all, the wonder in this chapter, the wonder of it all. I mean, here they have people being persecuted. Stephen has been killed, and the gospel's being promoted. The gospel's being preached. They've scattered out everywhere, preaching the word of God. I believe somewhere I read in the chapter, I'm not sure if I read in the chapter in my study, but the disciples, most of them were still in Jerusalem. But Philip was one of those that went out, amen, and he's in Samaria. But you say, preacher, I don't know what you mean about the wonder of it all. Well, think about this. There was great joy in Samaria. People are getting saved in Samaria. People are getting healed in Samaria. I mean, God is so evident in Samaria that the Bible said everybody's just believing. Everybody's taking Philip and believing the preaching of the Word of God. And God is moving in a mighty way. Yet God chose to pick a man up out of that great revival that's going on in Samaria and lead him down into a desert place. And God, I just see it, the wonder of it all. I believe this. I believe if you would talk to Philip a little earlier, you know, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. I believe the wonder of it all in our heart and life ought to be that he could use somebody like you, somebody like me, to introduce somebody else to somebody like him. Amen? That's a blessing. Amen? The wonder of it all. And the Bible said the angel of the Lord spake to Philip and said, arise and go toward the south unto the way. I noticed the wonder. The whole chapter just it causes me to be amazed. And just wait till you get to chapter 9 if you want to see some more wonder. Saul is no longer persecuting, but he's going to be preaching. He's going to be praying. He's going to be praising the Lord. He's going to be persecuted himself. Amen. The wonder of it all. How that God can turn it around. Soul winners in the way. Notice the wonder. Notice the worker. Secondly, Philip. The Bible said the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Philip is just one man, but he's a working man. He's working for the Master. He's working for the Lord. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. Let me give you three things real quickly. The worker was to go. God told him to go. Somebody asked me one time, they said, well, would you pray that the Lord would help me to be an influence, to win others to Jesus? I said, well, I can and I will, but I think there ought to be a condition on that, and that is that you go. You say, preacher, and if some have compassion, right? Others save with fear. If some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We'll never be concerned until we go. We'll never, ever be concerned about sinners until we go. We must go. And that was the first thing here in the worker's life. The worker was to go, and he did. But the worker was also to guide. I think there's a fear here sometimes in people's life. I've actually had people say this to me, Brother Ralph. I'm afraid I'll say the wrong thing. I'll tell you how to fix that. Just say what the Bible says. And you will never say the wrong thing. If you give them the Bible, give them the Scripture, give them the Word of God, you'll never have to worry about saying the wrong thing. Amen. And so we see the guide. You say, preacher, where'd you find that? Well, you remember what the eunuch said to Philip? He said, how can I except some man guide me? I believe, and I've said this before in our church, I believe there are two extremes in soul winning. Over here on this extreme, it's like you're being a salesman trying to get somebody to buy a vacuum cleaner. And over here on this extreme, well, God does it all. But in the middle is the truth of the matter. God uses you, God uses me, God uses Christians to be a witness, to share the Word of God with others. But we are to depend on the Holy Spirit of God to take the Word of God and prick somebody's heart, amen, that they might trust Jesus. Because if the Spirit of God ain't working, you can be the best talker, the best salesman in the whole wide world, and all you get is an empty profession if you get something out of somebody. But God, the Holy Spirit, can take the Word of God and take somebody that is surrendered to Him. That's what I like about Philip. The Bible said, arise and go. The next verse said, he arose and went. He was just surrendered. He was a worker that was told to go, but he was a worker that was going to be a guide. You might say, well, preacher, there's Bibles on every corner. Church is on every corner too. But that doesn't mean that people understand. I like what we heard in that testimony Sunday night. When that man told that man, said, man, church ain't going to help you. He never heard that before in his life. That's where we're at in our generation. Everybody thinks, well, if I go to church, I'll go to heaven. You can go to hell from a church. You must be born again. You must be saved by the grace of God. Everybody don't know that. So a guide can take the Bible and show them he's a guide. But then the worker was to glory. This is going to end up where the Bible said he went on his way rejoicing. Amen. And what a joy it is. The next best thing to being saved is having a little part. We need to pray for Tony Joyner. I forgot to mention him tonight. They thought he had cancer. I tried to go by today, but he was asleep. But they're thinking now that it was infection. They thought it was brain cancer. And I never heard of it like that. I talked to Brother Brian about it a little bit. But I had the privilege to lead Brother Tony and his wife to the Lord. And, you know, I'm nobody. Well, here's what we need to remember. Listen, one man sows and another man waters, but if God don't give the increase, ain't nothing going to happen. But if we don't sow and we don't water, how can we expect God to give the increase? Amen. That'd be like expecting tomatoes if you don't put a mater plant in the ground, or expecting taters if you don't plant a tater, or corn or beans. Amen. The Bible talks about God must give the increase. We've noticed the wonder, noticed the worker. I want you to notice the worshiper. Boy, this is good right here. The Bible said he come to Jerusalem for to worship. I believe personally that everybody worships something or someone. In other words, when people get up and put their clothes on in the morning, there's something in their life that's worthy of their attention. That's where worship comes from. Worthy. Amen. In other words, there's something in their life that they're living for. Some people are living for a fishing pole. Some people are living for a bass boat. Some people are living for a rifle. Some people are living for a golf club. Some people are living for the nightclub. Amen. Some people are living for the gambling. Some people are living for the sex culture. They're all wrapped up. And here's a man that I believe is searching. He went to Jerusalem to worship. That's what the Bible said. Now, let me give you something here. I'm going to give you something. He's an Ethiopian man. He's the most unlikely candidate for salvation. He's 500 miles from Jerusalem. And by the way, he wasn't going on American Airlines. It was going to take him a while to get to Jerusalem. But I'm going to tell you, I believe everybody knows they've got an empty spot. And especially a successful man like this, the treasurer for Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. Most of the time when somebody's successful, they're not looking for anything. They think they've got it all. But here's a man, I believe, he's an unlikely candidate, but God is fixing to save this man. Let me give you a couple of things right here. Number one, he was serious about worship. I believe there are people sitting in churches all over America that are serious about worship. I believe they're sincere about their worship. I believe you can be sincerely wrong. Amen? Beloved, listen, Jesus is to be the object of our worship. Amen? Listen, this man is lost, but he's worshiping. He's serious about it. He's sincere about it. He was situated in the right place to worship. How could you get any better than Jerusalem? I believe this with all my heart. I believe that this man, he went to Jerusalem to worship, but he went away from Jerusalem just as empty as he was when he got to Jerusalem. But he's in the right place, Brother Gary. He's got the Word of God out. He can't understand it. But I tell you what, God looks down and says, son, I'm going to send you some help. Amen. Help is on the way. And God fingers around in Philip's heart. Says, Philip, I want you to get up. He said, the angel of the Lord, you get up and go down there to that desert. Then when he got down there in the desert, he said, go join yourself to that chariot. You see, Philip didn't know everything when he started out. He didn't know the specifics of it. But I tell you what he did know. He knew if he would obey God, God would bless it. Abraham obeyed God. He didn't know where he was going. But he obeyed God. And God blessed it immensely and tremendously. So here's the man situated in the right place to worship. But he was a sinner even though he worshiped. He was a sinner. You see, he didn't understand. Let me give you this. Next in line in the message tonight, I've noticed the wonder, the worker, the worshiper. But notice the Word of God. The Bible said he was returning, sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit of the Lord said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip takes off running. I like that, don't you? He didn't pray about it. He didn't think about it. He didn't call somebody else and ask them what they thought about it. He took off running toward that chariot. Now he's going to get close enough to hear. The Word of God said he heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? Let me ask you a question. How many believes if you're going to be a soul winner, you need to know a little something about this book? At least Philip understood that he wasn't reading the Reader's Digest, Brother Gary. When he heard what he was reading, he said, buddy, that's the Word of God. And by the way, you ought to know your King James Bible well enough. When somebody gets up and reads out of one of them, it ain't going to happen here. When somebody reads you one of them other ones, it ought to stick out like a sore thumb. Amen? How many believes that tonight? We ought to know our Bible. We ought to get in our Bible. The Bible said here, he recognized where he was reading. He was reading in Isaiah. Philip ran to him. He heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he said, Philip, come up here and sit with me, would you? Tell me what's going on in this passage of Scripture. Tell me. Help me understand. I'll tell you something right now. I believe this is something this preacher believes. I see it in the life of Cornelius. I see it in the life of this eunuch. I believe when a man will act on the light that God gives him, God will give him more light. I believe our God's not interested in leaving people in darkness. Amen. But if they'll just take the light, whatever light it is, Cornelius, his prayers, his alms came up to God for a memorial. And he said, hey, Peter, there's a guy down there who needs a little help. Go down there and help him understand the gospel. I tell you, he said the same thing to Philip. There's a guy down there that needs a little help. I'm going to ask a question. How many of y'all believe there's somebody in Bloomingdale needs a little help? There's somebody in Bloomingdale tonight worshiping. Somebody in Bloomingdale tonight. How can I except somebody, some man guide me? And I believe tonight that God wants to use us in the way. Soul winners in the way. I want you to notice this tonight. I want you to notice the wounds. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Let me ask you a question tonight. How many believes that God's people ought to magnify the cross? That's what's going on right here. Paul said it like this. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Let me tell you something right now. If expounding upon Calvary won't help a sinner to get saved, nothing else will. You remember, listen, this was not magnified in that testimony Sunday night, but do you remember that the man said he started with Adam and went all the way to the resurrection? How many remembers that in the testimony? He started with Adam. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, he didn't take the time to tell you everything that the man... And then he goes in and he tells his wife, and his wife said, that makes more sense than anything I've ever heard. Christ took our place on the cross. The Word of God said he began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I believe with all of my heart, if that won't warm your heart, looking at Calvary, I remember a lady, her name was Carol. I said, Carol, I said, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? She said, I believe I would. That's what she said. I said, what makes you believe you would? She said, well, I'm a good wife. I try my best to be a good wife and a good mother. We pay our bills. And she went through a line of about five or six of those things. And I said, Carol, can I ask you a question? She said, sure. Very cordial. I said, if you or I said one thing and the Bible said another thing, which one would be right? She didn't hesitate, Brother Rand. She said, the Bible. How many believes the Bible's right, period? I read two passages of Scripture. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then I read the passage over there, not by works of righteousness, in Titus chapter 3, I believe, or 2. It's over there in Titus. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. And I can never forget this as long as I live. She just looked like you rounded the corner in the kitchen, like a youngin' that had his hand in the cookie jar when he wasn't supposed to have a cookie. There was a look come upon her face that said, I'm in trouble. That's what the Holy Spirit can do with the Word of God. And I said to her, Carol, let me ask you this. I said, if you and I could be good, and we could make it to heaven, I said, why did Jesus have to die? She looked at me, Brother Ralph, I'll never forget it. She said, that's a good question. How foolish it is to think that people can go to heaven because they're good when the Word of God said there's none good. No, not one. And so here, Philip, he's noticing the wounds. He's going to magnify the suffering. Listen, it's fresh in Philip's heart. It's fresh in Philip's mind. It's not old, amen. The church is not very old at this point. Jesus has just died. He spent, 40 days? And he ascended. And then he told him to wait 10 days. Go up there in Jerusalem and pray. Wait for the promise of the Father. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, so you can impress somebody down at the church when you're worshiping. It's not what it said at all. He said, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. God gives His power not to show us off. So you and I can have enough unction and power to show him off to somebody else. That's what's going on here. The wounds. He's magnifying the wounds. He's led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer. I personally believe we're reading the record right here. But I personally believe that Philip took some time with him. Don't you think he would? Don't you think Philip might have said, it was awful. They spit on him. They beat him. They went to break his legs, but he was already dead. So they stuck a big spear up in him. He said he was a king, and they mocked him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. I don't know that. I can't be dogmatic about it, but I can hear Philip getting down to the nitty-gritty and telling this man what Jesus did for him. The wounds. Philip opened his mouth. The Bible did say this, began at the same scripture, preached unto him Jesus. We don't know exactly what he said, but we know he said enough. We know he didn't preach unto him Philip. We know he didn't preach unto him the church at Jerusalem. He didn't preach unto him the church at Samaria. He didn't even preach unto him the water hole. He preached unto him Jesus. People need the Lord. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. Notice the wounds. Then notice the way. How can we know the way? Look at verse number 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." I don't know, Brother Ralph, if this man was showing any emotion. I believe you can show emotion and not believe. And I believe you cannot show emotion and believe. The Bible didn't say by showing emotion we're saved. But if our will is broken, we understand we're the sinner. We understand he's the Savior. This man was worshiping, but he's about to get on the right side of worship. He's about to understand there's somebody that'll never leave him nor forsake him. Notice the way. He said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Remember, somebody said that a little while back. Who was that? Anybody remember? "We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Who said that? Peter. Remember that? And Jesus said, "Upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it." I'm glad I'm in the church, aren't you? I didn't join. No, I was born. I had a new birth. Amen. Notice the way. How can we know the way? He commanded the chariot to stand still. They went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. You notice in that verse there, the water. I believe when people get saved, they want the world to know it. The Bible said, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." I honestly think when people get saved, they shouldn't wait too long to be baptized. In the Bible, when they got saved, Buddy, they was hunting them a water hole, wasn't they? Amen. And they was hunting them away to be baptized. But I want you to notice this. My goodness, it's 8:05. I figured I'd be up here about 15 minutes. Let me give you this, and I'm done. I want you to notice the worship. We said over there that there was worship before. Let's look at the worship now. The Bible said in verse 39, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more." Watch this now. The eunuch wasn't worshiping Philip. He was worshiping Philip's God. Because Philip's out of sight. You can't see him. But the Bible said of the eunuch, I want to believe this. Y'all leave me alone. Brother Arnold, I want to believe when he got back down there. Where was it I said he was from? Ethiopia. I want to believe when he got back down there, brother, he went to telling people about the journey. I went all the way to Jerusalem.
And I'd done the best I could. But I knew when I left Jerusalem, headed home, there's something still missing down inside. I found out it wasn't something. It's someone. His name is Jesus. Let me tell you what Philip told me. He got his Bible out, I believe. Said, right here's where I was reading. Let me tell you, this ain't speaking of the prophet. This is speaking of another man. He's the Savior of the world. His name is Jesus. I don't have any Bible for that. I don't. But I figure others did that. When the Samaritan woman got saved, she said, come see a man. Told me all things. The Bible did say this, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. He may have sat down with the queen, brother. I don't know how she might have reacted, but he may have sat down with the queen and said, you've trusted me, glory to God, with all your money, with all your treasure. Let me tell you about what you can trust with your soul. That's good. Amen. Let me tell you about one that suffered and bled and died. That ain't the end of the story. He got up. He rose again. He's the Son of God. If you'll trust Him, you too can go to heaven. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight. I appreciate you coming. I really do. I appreciate Philip. I've always loved this story. Every time I read it, it seems like I see something maybe just a little bit different, a little bit more, a little bit deeper. I love the Bible. It's alive, isn't it? It's well. Amen. Let's share it. Let's not be ashamed of it. Let's share it. Let's give out the Word of God. Drop the seed. It's like seed. Let's carry a leaky seed basket. Just let the seed leak out everywhere that we go. Father, thank you tonight for Philip. He's a soul winner in the way. Lord, make me a better soul winner. Lord, help me to be more soul conscious. Lord, help our church to be a place where people can get in out of this world, hear the truth, experience the love of God in their heart and in their life. In Jesus' name.